Well, I'm so glad to see you today. Glad that you could be here and worship with us. And we want to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. I'm so glad to have the seniors here who got up and shared and gave a witness. And what a marvelous, marvelous witness they gave. It's wonderful. We celebrate with them on this special day. And glad they could be in this service. Now, you know, we're in this series, Passover to Pentecost. And we're talking about believing today. That's what we've been singing about and talking about. And so we want to look at that. Now, you know, we've talked about this in the series. It's that 40 days between the time when Jesus was resurrected and his ascension before he goes to heaven. And he makes several appearances to the disciples, and they see him, but they're not quite sure if they can believe. It's before they've seen him. He's been resurrected. He's come out of the tomb. Other people have told them that he is resurrected, but they're just not sure that they believe. And I got to tell you, that makes me feel good. Because they're disciples. They're walking and talking and living with Jesus. They've been spending time with him. They've seen him do all kinds of miracles, but they're not sure that he can do what he said that he would do. You know, have you ever had experiences in your life where you had a lot of faith and you saw God work and you were just so grateful for that and you thought, man, I'll always have faith. And then you have a new experience and it's so different and you've never experienced it before. It's something that you've never addressed. And all of a sudden, you begin to wonder, and I know God did this in the past, but can God do this now in the present? Can God work in my life in this situation because I'm really concerned about it? We said last week that Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples the scripture. He was always explaining to them. He was always teaching them. And he took one last shot at it when he was resurrected. Before he was ascended, he got them all together. And he says, now, in case you've missed it, let's have a review. Let's go over this again. This is what I want you to learn. This is what I want you to do. This is the focus that I want you to have. And so he began to explain things to them. And he says, when you look at other people, I don't want you to judge people based on, you know, how they look, their appearance, their ethnicity, you know, all that kind of stuff, their age, any of that kind of stuff. So when you look at me, you don't see an old man. That's what Jesus said. So when you look at me, you just see the spirit and the heart, right? That's really what he's saying to us. He wants us to have a spirit and a heart that exemplifies him. He wants others to see him in us. And we want to share that with other people every chance we get. And so we believe. Today we've sung about it. We believe. We really do believe. And we have so many examples. And I could call on so many of you who I know really do believe. And you're going through things right now, but you believe. You believe that God is there and he can do anything. Well, the disciples have believed already, but they're still learning to believe more. And so we're going to look at Mark, the 16th chapter. And it says, now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe, right? Now, this is about the 11. We've talked about this. You know, there were 12 disciples, and then Judas went out and hanged himself, and then there were 11, and then later they added Matthias, and there were 12. But it's in this little period right here when there are 11. So he refers to the 11 sometimes because that's what he's got there, okay? And so the 11 disciples walked with him, talked with him, but they weren't sure that they believed that he could do what he said he did. How many times has he said, I'm the Son of Man. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be scourged and beaten and mocked and crucified, but I will rise again on the third day. Even when he would explain it to them, even when he would tell them what was going to happen, they didn't always get it. It makes me feel better because sometimes I'm slow, and I don't always get it. Sometimes I read it in the Bible, and I see it there, but sometimes I just don't put it together. I don't realize, and they're going, oh, that's what you were talking about. And then on the third day, they didn't believe because they hadn't seen him yet. And then after that, it says he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went along into the country. Now, we've talked about this in the series. These were the two guys on their way to Emmaus. They didn't recognize Jesus. He didn't look like himself when they came and they saw him. And so they said, well, what are you talking about? And they said, haven't you heard Jesus of Nazareth has been crucified? At this time, he hadn't been resurrected yet. And so he said, well, tell me about it. And so they told him all about it, but they didn't recognize him at first. Later, they did recognize him. And then it says, and they, the Emmaus Road disciples, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. In other words, these two guys went to the rest of the disciples and told them what they had seen in Jesus because he appeared to them, but they did not believe either. And so over and over again, you see this lack of belief. How is it possible that they could not believe? They've been with Jesus. They've walked with him. They've prayed with him. They've spent time with him. And it says, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Okay, and then listen to what happens. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. Oh, you're just talking. You don't know what you're talking about. And they did not believe them. Even when they had a witness, they didn't believe. You know, when you got a witness from God, do you believe? When other people share their faith with you, do you believe? When you can see Jesus in them, do you believe? Do you really believe that God is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do? And so today, what I want us to do is I want us to see three things. And the first one is this. We need to believe that Jesus is God. We need to believe that. You see, he is an individual. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they all are separate, and yet they're all one. That's the Trinity. And so Jesus is the Son of God, but he really is God. And so when we see Jesus, we know what he tells us we can trust, we can believe. So I want to go on to another passage in Mark 9, and it says this. And when he came to the disciples. Now, I want to back up just a minute, and I want to give you some clarification. Before this scripture, a little bit earlier up in the scripture, he's talking about he takes Peter, James, and John. He goes on the mountain, and he's transfigured there. When he's transfigured, that means that the anointing of God was upon him. He shone bright. It was like he was God. And so there he was on the mountain, and there he appeared to them. And this was the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets, because Elijah and Moses were there with him, and these three disciples are watching all this, and they see him there. And then God speaks to them, and he says, "This is my son. Listen to him." Now, that would get my attention. I don't know about you, but if I was on the mountain with Jesus and all of a sudden he shone brightly and God speaks from heaven, okay, you've got my attention now. What do you want to tell me? I'm supposed to listen. I've got it. Now, he's coming back down from the mountain. He goes back to the rest of the disciples and he's talking to them. And it says this, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and they were running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth and he gnashes his teeth and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." He's the creator, the sustainer of the universe. And he says, "I'll take care of this. Just bring the boy to me. I can handle it." And it says, then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now that's the prayer we all need to pray. Lord, I do believe. Just give me more faith. I want to believe more. I believe you. I believe that you've worked in my life. I believe that you saved me. I believe that you walk with me every day. I believe that you care about the details of my life, and you're right here with me, and you're ready to answer me. But I've never dealt with this situation before, and it's new to me, and I'm afraid, and I'm scared, and I want to believe. I want to have faith, but I need your help because I want to believe more. Okay, so the thing that we notice also is that Jesus is so calm. He just says, bring him to me. It doesn't upset him. He's not shaken by this. And then what does he say to the father? He looks at the father and he says, how long has he been like this? It's not that he's not concerned about the boy. It's that he is not impressed by the demon. And so now what he wants to do is he wants to shut that demon down. And the reason is because he's God, and he knows who he is, and he knows what he can do. And so when he saw the people running to the boy, watching the boy, he knows the demon is trying to put on a show, that the devil is trying to attract people to watch him and see who he is. And Jesus says, I'm going to shut this down. You're not going to put on a show here, because the only one who can put on a show now is my Father, and he's getting ready to right now. And he cast the demon out. And then he says to him, now listen, you said to me, if I could do anything. And what I want you to know is it's not an if. There is no if. Look at me. I can do it. The if is for you. The if is if you believe. I can do it. There's no doubt in my mind. I know I can do it. I'm ready to do it. But do you believe? And so he says, Lord, I believe. I believe. Just help my unbelief. And that's a great answer for you and me. Probably all of us could say that, because whatever you're facing today, it may be a health issue. It may be something in your business. It may be something in your marriage. It may be your kids. It may be your friends. It may be something your grandchildren have. And you're saying, Lord, I believe, but just help my unbelief, because I really care about this, and I'm scared, and I want to have faith, but I'm really struggling with that. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And so he gives us a faith to have more belief. He gives us a tip here, and it says, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? In other words, what's wrong with us? What did we do wrong, Lord? Teach us. We want to do what you do. We want to do the right thing. And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. He's saying you got to pray more, you got to fast more, you got to believe, you got to step out on faith, because you've got to be in relationship with me, you've got to be in communion with me, and then I can work through you to accomplish my will in you, because you put your faith into action. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, the God, is looking to and fro all over the earth all the time. What's he looking for? He's looking for people who will follow him. He's looking for people who will serve him, people who will step out on faith, people who will be faithful and obedient and do whatever he asks them to do. And there are people stepping up all the time. And there are people in this church who do that. There are people who have never done something before, but you know, they feel called to do it. And we give an opportunity, and they come and they say, I'm scared to death. I never thought I'd do this. I never wanted to do it, but I want to do it now. And I'm going to try it. And maybe it's tithing. You know, I know that God loves me, and I know he taught me to do it. I've just never done it before. But, you know, my friends do it, and so I feel convicted. and say, I'm going to try it. I'm going to tithe. And I just, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I want to do it, okay? Well, Lord, you know, I want to get up and give a witness about tithing because I did it. And guess what? I always had a little month left at the end of my money. But since I've been doing this, it's all worked out, and I just can't figure it out, and it's amazing. And I want to be about your business. And so I never dreamed I'd get up in front of people and talk about it. That's the last thing I'd ever want to do. But you've called me to give a witness. And I want my friends to know what the difference it made to me. I don't know why I waited so long. I should have put this into practice a long time ago, and I want them to know because I want them to experience the joy that I'm experiencing. And so he says, I want you to pray. I want you to fast. I want you to live with me, do life with me, and I'm going to do life through you. And I'm going to bless other people. And it's just by pressing into God that we get closer to him. You need more faith? You don't have enough faith? Well, here's how to do it. And then put it into action. Respond when I call you. Faith without works is dead. You can't just think about it. You can't just talk about it. You can't just wonder, well, should I do that? If God's calling you, you need to stand up and be counted. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so you need to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I want to do it. And so that's what he was willing to do. It goes on in the passage of Scripture in the Message Bible. It says, wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works? And when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar, isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that works are works of faith? Now, here's what I want you to see. We're not saved by the works that we do. We're saved by grace. But because we're saved, we're going to do works because we love Jesus and we want to serve him and do what he calls us to do. And so we do that. And the full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set right with God, includes his action. Yeah, Lord, I believe. I know you want me to sacrifice my son. Let's talk about it. Yeah, I believe. Let me think about it. Come on, Isaac. We got to go up here. God wants us to make a sacrifice. I can't even imagine what that would be. How many years did he already waited to have a son? Now he finally gets a son. And God says, I want to know, do you love him more than you love me? Here's what I want us to see. All of us have false idols. All of us. We're human. And sometimes without even realizing it, without even choosing to do it, without knowing it, all of a sudden we say there is something in my life that's more important than God. And God says, you know what? I am a jealous God. And I want to know that you love me first and you love me more than anything else in your life. It could be a good thing, but I don't care. I want to know if you love me more than you love it. And listen to me. God's talking to you today, and he's pointing out things to you, and there are things coming to your mind and in your heart, and there are things that you're realizing, you know what? I didn't even know it, but that is a false idol. And I have to give that up. And Lord, I'm going to ask you for help because I want to do that. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to build my faith. And to build my faith, I'm going to have to do something. And that is, I'm going to have to give up this false idol. And so I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible and I am going to tithe and I'm going to give and I'm going to serve and I'm going to attend church and I'm going to be in small group, not so I'll be saved. Come on now. I'm going to do all that because I am saved. And I want to be a witness to others. So believe that Jesus is God. The second thing is believe that Jesus loves you. Some of us say, I am so unlovable. How could God ever love me? And I look at you and I say, you're right. No, I don't do that. I don't do that because I know you're looking at me. That's right. So I look at you and I say, you know what, though? God, he doesn't love you because you're lovable or because you're unlovable. He just loves you all the time. And he's got abundant love. He's got love that is eternal. He's got love that will never stop. And so he loves you. Do you really believe that he loves you? Really? Do you really believe it down deep in your heart? Because I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who come to me and they say, look, I know that God loves us. And I know I can see that he loves other people, but I feel so guilty. I feel so bad about myself. I can't believe that God could possibly love me. The Apostle Paul says, why is it I do the things I don't want to do? And I don't do the things I want to do. Who will save me from this? Thank God, it's already happened through Jesus Christ. You see, all of us are human, and we all fail. We all choke. We all make mistakes. And so the devil wants us to stay there. He wants us to give up. He wants us to quit. He's saying, who are you to tell anybody about God? God said, don't listen to him. He's a liar. You just believe in me. You listen to the still, small voice. You listen to my hand clap. I'm the one who's talking to you. And I'm going to bless you. And I love you. And I'm going to show you over and over again how much. It says in John chapter 20, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Did you see that? That's important. Let me stop there a moment because I want you to know that John knows that Jesus loves him. He knows it. He talks about it. When he writes, he's writing about himself, but he doesn't say John. He says, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And so we come to that every time in Scripture. It says it went on. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out with the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Then the other disciple, it says, who came to the tomb first, went in also and saw and believed. There was one who believed. There was one who believed because he saw it. You see, you've got to remember that the Holy Spirit is inspiring the writers of the Bible. And John couldn't say he believed if he didn't believe. But he did believe. And I'm trying to figure out why he believed. It's real simple. He believed because he had no doubt that Jesus loved him. Listen, if you know that you know that you know down deep in your heart that Jesus loves you, what have you got to fear? If you know that Jesus loves you, what is it that you can't do? If he calls you to do it, he wants you to do it, he's going to use you, you're going to be victorious. You know he loves you. You can see it over and over again. Sometimes in my devotional this morning, it was talking about sometimes we're just so moved by God that we cry because we're so happy. We're so blessed by God. You watch The Chosen, you see somebody healed who's never been able to see. A woman who had an issue of blood, and now she's healed. Listen, she's not the only one crying. I'm crying when I'm watching that because it's so powerful and so moving when you see the Spirit work in somebody's life, and it's a breakthrough. And you just continue to see your faith grow when you have that breakthrough. It goes on and it says, Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's in John 13. It goes on and says in John 19, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved. In John 21, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved. It goes on and says that. It says it again. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love the other disciples. It just means that John knew that Jesus loved him. Do you know that? This was a revelation that was given to him. This was an assurance. Jesus loves me. I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to say, Jesus loves me. I want you to tell them that right now and look at them and tell them that like you believe it, because he does love you. Believe that. All right? Do you have that assurance? You can have it. All right, the last thing. Believe that you love Jesus. Listen, if Jesus loves you and he reveals that to you, you're going to love him. He's shown you, he's told you, he's blessed you, and there's nothing else you can do but love him. You've been in his presence. You're a different person now. And it goes on in Scripture, and it says this. He's talking to Peter, and he's asking him, do you love me? So they had eaten breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said it to him a third time. He said, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself up, you walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. He's saying, they're going to crucify me. They're going to take me where I do not wish to go. But for your sake, I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go so that you can be forgiven. I'm going to die on the cross. They're going to take me away, and I'm willing to do that for you. This he spoke to them, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And during those 40 days, he asked Peter three times, do you love me? At the Last Supper, you know, he said, all of you are going to deny me. He said, I'm going to be crucified. All of you are going to deny me. He said, the shepherd is going to be slaughtered, and the sheep are going to be scattered, and you're all going to deny me. And Peter says, not me. I'm not going to deny you, Lord. And he looks at Peter, and he says, before the rooster crows two times, you're going to deny me three times. Can you imagine being Peter? He wants to love Jesus so much. He wants to be faithful to Jesus. He wants to stand up and be counted. He wants to be a witness, not for himself, but for Jesus. He wants Jesus to know how much he loves him. And he says, I'm not going to do that. And then he goes right out and does it. And then he sees Jesus again carrying the cross. How heartbroken do you think he was? You talk about somebody who's shaking their head going, I don't think there's any hope for me now. Jesus looked me in the eye and told me what I was going to do, and I did it anyway. How in the world could I ever be forgiven? Jesus comes back and reconciles with him, because Jesus doesn't love people who are lovable. Jesus loves everybody, and he's got plenty of love to go around. And it never ends. He just keeps loving us wherever we are. You know, God never asks a question to learn something. He always asks a question for us to learn something. He goes for a walk in the garden. Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. He didn't need Adam to tell him where he was. But what he wanted was for Adam to say, Lord, I'm hiding from you in fear and shame. He wanted him to know where he was. He wanted him to realize what had happened. Because of the resurrection, because you and I want to be his followers, do we follow him in word and deed? Because we want to. We try to. We seek to. We pray about it. But maybe some of us have gone to school and there's a lot of peer pressure, and we don't know how to handle that. And so our silence has denied him at school. Or maybe we've denied him at work because none of our coworkers are followers, and we don't know how they would treat us and what they would think of us. Or maybe a group of our friends said, let's go to a bar. And we knew that we didn't need to do that. But we went there, and by going, we denied him. Or maybe we ended up in a hotel room, and we denied him in that place. It doesn't mean that you don't love him, and it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It just means that you and I choke, just like Peter did. But he doesn't leave us there. He loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And he's got a plan for us, and it's so much better than the life that we have. He wants us to know that Jesus is God, that he loves us, and that we can love him. Today it was so moving for me to hear Autra, along with these seniors, get up and share her faith. I know her mother, Sarah, and I know her younger daughter, our sister, Ania. But you know, what I also know was her dad, Risa. And Risa came to church here, and he shared his testimony with me. He came in my office, and he said, we were living in another country, and all I had ever really known was Mohammed. And he said, the doctor said that my wife, Sarah, who was pregnant with our second child, that there were complications, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And he said, I was really scared, and I was worried. And he said, I didn't know God. And he said, I was laying in bed, and I was crying. And I was praying that my wife and my child would be okay. And he said, Jesus came to me. He said, I thought to myself, why Muhammad didn't come? He said, why Moses didn't come? Why Jesus is coming to me? That's the way he said it. And he said, but Jesus came to him and told him to have peace. He would be all right. That his wife and his baby would be all right. And he gave his heart and his life to Jesus. And he spent the rest of his life being a very powerful witness. Those of you who knew him here in the church, he was always smiling. He was always serving. He was ready and willing. He would work in the booth and doing technology for us. One day I mentioned that my air conditioner at the house had gone out. He came to my house on Sunday afternoon and tried to fix my air conditioner. They weren't even working on Sunday afternoon, but that's what he did for a living, and so he came. Tragically, in an accident, he was killed. But man, every day between the time he was saved and the time that he died, he was constantly putting something on Facebook every morning. I was reading the Bible this morning, and here's what Jesus showed me. And he had so many people who followed him, people from all different walks of life. And when we had his funeral, the place was packed, and it was people that I'd never met before, people I've never even seen before, people from a lot of different groups. And they said, well, I knew him because of his background and his family. Well, I knew him because, you know, I knew him from work. Well, I knew him because of his hobbies and different things. Well, I knew him because of the church. And all these different people, he brought them all together. God used his witness to have an impact on so many people's lives. And that is why we need to believe. It's not just for us, but what about those other people who are far from God? What about those other people who've never heard before? And they need somebody to love them and teach them and bless them and be a witness to them so that they can come to know him too. Today I want you to know Jesus is God. He loves you and you can love him. Father, thank you for your word. We take it to heart. We embrace it. We want to live it out. We thank you for saving us. We pray that you will use us to be your witnesses. And Lord, we will step out. We will do what you call us to do. We will be faithful and obedient. We will be in unity together as the Woodlawn Church to be about your business. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.